So Shkolem first speaks of the new korbanos which will be brought on Shchedesh Nisan. Zohar that we have at this time of the year, this, that's certainly quite understandable. I mean, it's the Shabbos before Purim. But there's another aspect to Zohar too. When will we complete the task of Mechias HaMolek? Right, so we read on Purim, Nuchama Lashem HaMolek, Midordo. This will last through all of history until Melech HaMashiach. Till Melech HaMashiach. So the ultimate resolution of the issue of HaMolek will take place in the era of Mashiach, not before. Purim certainly addressed something that was. And a person that became Tomei throughout the year, whatever the reason that it became Tomei, now it's coming Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and he has to bring a Korban Pesach. So how's he going to go to the Mikdash of his Tmeimis? So obviously, this time of the year was the big season to become Tor. You know, the Korban Pesach was the ultimate celebration. Re is also important, but the ultimate celebration is Korban Pesach. And one could not participate in the Korban Pesach if it was a tummy. So this was the big rush. The rush was basically by 6 days or so in Nisan, you had to be finished. You know, getting in there. You wanted to finish in time to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. So maybe the seventh you could push it, but so this was the time of the year there was a big push to run to the Beis HaMikdash, run to Yerushalayim and have them sprinkle the Mechatas on you. And then finally is the Parshas HaChodesh anticipates the fact that we're actually going to bring the Korban Pesach. So I think the theme that ties all of this together we saw in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, B'Nisan Nivra Olam. And there's even question what the conclusion of the Gemara is. Right? Rashi and Tosfos seem to take the Gemara that it means that B'Nisan Nivra Olam. And other, the Rabbi Nachmanan seems to take the Gemara's Maskana to mean B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. And other Rishonim we saw in the Ritva, based on a Rishalmi, come to the conclusion that the din is that Rav Paskin, that B'Nisan Tishrei Nivra. So we have split opinion in Jewish history. No clear-cut guidance. So we do know that the Gemara says that at the time of the Bria Sa'ilam is also the time of the Gula. The Uman Diomer says B'Tishrei Nivra Olam is B'Tishrei Asin Ligo. The Mandi Yomer who says Benisan Nivra Olam is Benisan Asid Ligo. So the Dalit Parshias would seem to fit according to the Mandi Yomer that it's Benisan Nivra or Benisan Asid Ligo. It's a look to the future. Onu Maminim Bnei Maminim that Yovo Hayoim that we're going to collect the Shkolim and bring the Karbonos Shchodesh Nisan and the Mizbeach. Yovo Hayoim will fulfill Mechias HaMolek. Yovo Hayom will have the problem. They're going to have to run to become Torah with the Paradum. And then finally we'll have the good issue that we have to bring the Korban Pesach. Going to help us, Elliot?
Pesach Hashem.
Okay.
Yeah. My other friend.
Elliot. All the Elliots. All the Elliots seems to be a name for Kayan. Elliot seems to be a name for Kayan. So that's why I think that we have all of these parshias dafka this time of the year, and specifically, you know, Pesach is the ultimate celebration. There is nothing that's in a league of its own, and it signifies and symbolizes throughout history the Gula of Klal Yisrael. So in Chodesh Adar we anticipate what the future is going to bring. That's why we have the Dalet Parshis. This time of the year. Maybe that's even part of the Pshat. Why Bishloima, we saw in the Gemara, that Rabbi Gamliel said that if you read Koros HaMegillah Ba'ad Rishon, in this Abri, you have to read it Ba'ad Sheni. So Rabbi Gamliel's, why did Rabbi Gamliel feel it has to be Ba'ad Sheni? Because Mismach Gula Legula. The two Gula should be associated with each other. Fine. But Rabbi Gamliel also held something else. Rabbi Gamliel held, if I read the Dalet Parshi as Ba'ad Rishon, I'm not Yaitse, right? The Tanakhama said that I'm Yotze if I read the Dalet Parashi as Ba'ad Rishon. The Megillah I have to do again. But I am not Mechuyev to do the Dalet Parashi again. So why did Rabbi Gamliel insist that I do the Dalet Parashi again? And his reason for the Megillah of Mismach Gula Legula, I mean, the Tanakhama would seem to subscribe to that and say, yeah, that's fine, we'll do the Megillah. But what in the world does that have to do with the Dalet Parashi? So I think Lefi Darkeinu is Dei Musbar Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, that the pshat is that these also are to portend the Gula Asida. That's what they're about. And Mameila, just as we have Mismach Gula Legula, and we have to have the Megillah Ba'ad Sheni, the Dalet Parshias Dafka have to be Ba'ad Sheni too, according to him. Which is the way we paskin. Otherwise, it's chaser beer. What does Rabbi Gamliel want? What does Rabbi Gamliel want? Why should we have to have the Dalet Parshias Dafka Ba'ad Sheni? I did it already. So what is, so you know, so what's why that? So you want to do Parshas HaChodesh, all the Dalet Parshias are hostage to the Parshas HaChodesh.
The first two Parshas Parah, you should be able to.
Listen, you know, if you're a real yek and you come early, it's Savera, you know. The truth is, you know.
Not too early, not too late.
That's, you know, it's unyekish. How do they say? Free is auch nicht zum Zeit. You know, early is also not on time. It's a Yekish saying. But?
Which one is Adif?
Oh, the lateness, forget about. That's altogether. That's, you know. The early it could be that you watch didn't work well. That, but to be late is bichlal. That's just, you know. What? I had a friend in yeshiva, yek, a real yek. Rather lived in Jackson Heights, not in the, you know, not by Broyers. He was never late. A whole's mom went by in yeshiva, was not late for one seder, not one minyan. I used to tease him, he didn't show up in yeshiva. The roll book is empty, they only marked the latest. He didn't show up, you're the only guy. So I once, Minchon Chavetz Chaim, in my time, was exactly at Hadlokas Neres. That was this man Minchon those days. So one time it's 4:11, and I'm standing inside the Beis Medrash waiting for a minyan, and he walks in. So I said, I'm Naftali. It says that this man Minchon is 4:10. You're late a minute. Doesn't bat an eyelash. It's impossible. There's no such mitzvah. It can't be. I had a sign that says 4:10. The sign is wrong. And you know something? He was right. This man was 4:11. That was the guy that made the sign. Made a mistake. That's it. Just some things cannot be. And this is not well. So the Lefi Darkeinu was Dei Musbar what Rabbi Gamliel wanted. That the Mismach Gula Legula also applied to the Dalet Parshias. There is a very, very strange Gemara. Very strange Gemara. Before we start to go through the Gemara, I'll point out the difficulty. And then we'll go through the Mishnah, the Gemara. The Gemara is a very odd question. The Pnei Yeshua was very taken aback by this question. My Parsha Shkolo. What's Parsha Shkolo? A strange question. What do you mean, what's Parsha Shkolo? Yes, what's Megillas Esther? Yes, what's Eicha? What do you mean, my Parsha Shkolo? You don't know. Ask the Gabbai. You think the Gabbai doesn't know? He has to prepare to say Peter. The Gabbai doesn't know. I mean, my Parsha Shkolem. And if that's not bad enough to ask my Parsha Shkolem, then we are yet there on top of that. We have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, what it is. I mean, what did they do in the shul last year? What do you mean? And if everybody, if there were two established Rahachan, then what do you mean, my Parsha Shkolem? What do you mean? What are you asking a question? What's the question? So that the Gemara is very, very peculiar. And as I say, the Pnei Yoshua struggles. Let's go back. So we have the Mishnah tells us Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechaliyos B'Shabbos Chof Tesam and Aleph in Megillah. Koyrin Reparsha Shkolim. We read Parsha Shkolim. Whatever Parsha Shkolim is. Chaliyos B'Toych HaShabbos as it is this year that it does not, Rosh Chodesh is not a current Shabbos. Vagdim Elisha Ovar. We front-loaded the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, and we're psikah the Shabbos Acheres. And the next Shabbos, the one that's immediately after Rosh Chodesh, we skip. We don't read a special parasha that week. So Gemara says, Tanat Hosam, there's a Mishnah in Shkolim, the beginning of Shkolim. Be'echod ba'ador mashmir mal Shkolim. On the first day of Ador, they made the announcements about Shkolim. The guy went up, clapped on the bima, Rabbi said, the Shkolim campaign has begun. And the second thing he announced is that if you see Chloe's roim growing in the grain fields, so this is the time they start to become visible, so go and inspect them and tear them out and don't be overclimbed. So Gemara says, Bishlom ala klayim, that the fact that they announced klayim Rosh Chodesh Adar, that we understand. This is Manzriah, that's the time of the planting, and that's when you'll start to see, you know, when you go out into the fields, you'll start to see if there's any seed that grew from another, blew from another field and started to take root here where it doesn't belong. How do we know that Shkolim is to be an Ador? Ultimately, it has to be a Nisan, but how do we know it's Nisan? Good, so such a thing that you have to have donations, okay, but maybe it's in Tishrei, maybe it's in Shvat. So who's told me that it has to be what's Koveya, that it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, we start a tumul about it. Is Omer Rav Tevi, Omer Rav Yoshia. So Rav Tevi said in the name of Rav Yoshia, I should say, the Omer Krol. In the Parsha, it says, Zayis Oilas Chodesh Bechotshoi Lechotshe Hashanah, right? In the Parsha Satomet that we read, the Voroshech. And then the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, Zoyz Oilas Chodesh Bechotsh, the decree that we read on Rosh Chodesh. So, Zoyz Oilas, what's Chodesh Bechotshoy? Omra Torah Tzeremes Chadesh Vavei Korban Mitruma Chadosha. Bring the Karbonas from new donations. The cave in the Berisan Boy Akruvei, since we have to bring the new Karbonas in Nisan. So therefore, kadminim v'karinim be'echad ba'adam. So we started Parsha Shkolim and started the announcements. Ke'echad leisu shkolim le'migdash. So it takes time for everyone to contribute, so they have a chance to participate. But the Gemara is chosar one step. So the Gemara tells me that from this pasuk I learned there's an inyan of chadesh v'havei truma chadosha. Okay, very nice. But it doesn't answer the question when. So this, I have 12 months. So which one is? Why did you decide it's Nisan? So Rashi says, and this is a very telling Rashi. Ela Omra Torah, Yesh lecha chodesh at tzorach lechadosh. There is a month that you have to bring, start off, inaugurate b'havos oilus new karbonos, b'havos oilus tmidim u'musafen, the oilus tmidim u'musafen, and the migdash has to be from new, fresh funds. Mitruma chadosh. But when? Amon. Zehu Nisan. This is Nisan. How do we know? Kind Amrinu Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, there are Amrinu Shana Shana B'Nisan. There is a Gzereshova of Shana Shana. So here it says, L'chotche Hashanah. And by Nisan we have a posik in Parshas Boi, D'chsiv Rishanu Lachem L'chotche Hashanah. So here we have those oilas chodesh bechotcho lechotche hashana, and here we have hashana. So that hashana is clearly a Nisan, And since it's in Nisan, so now we know that we have to bring the Truma Chadosh on Nisan. Now this is going to confuse things even more. Because it comes out, this is the sole way that anyone knows that we have to bring it, to bring Truma Chadosh of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is because the Pasuk says, how do we know you have to have a Truma Chadosh? So we have to have a Truma Chadosh because it's in the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh Bechotcha, the Chotcha Hashanah. And how do we know that there's Nisan? That's the sole source that we have in Nisan, is the Gzera Shavah Hashanah Hashanah. So that means the whole Livud is dependent on the Parsha of what we read in Rosh Chodesh. And from that we learn out from Rishon Ulechem Lechotcha Hashanah. Now we're going to see that Rav said that is what Parsha Shkolim is to read what we read on Rosh Chodesh. So that would seem to be eminently sensible. How do I know you have to have a Truma Chadosh? From that Parsha. How do I know the Truma Chadosh is in Nisan? Also Gzera Shavah to that Parsha. So we're going to see this would seem to support what Rav wants to do. So then the Gemara goes over tangentially for a moment that there is a machlokes of Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim in Pesachim, which deals with the fact of how long before Pesach do we say Shoalim v'Dorshim v'Hilchos HaPesach. Is it a month or 2 weeks? So according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that it's only 2 weeks. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that it's only 2 weeks. So then L'chayra we should have started 2 weeks before Pesach. Or maybe we need some weeks to make the announcement. So, but why did we start all the way the announcements a whole month before? We normally see Achanas 2 weeks, so we should have started Purim. We should have started the drive. So the Gemara answers for this that since the practice was that the Gaboim people needed time to donate the money. So even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Shulchanos, the collection stations were established and the 15th of Adar. So 2 weeks before, they started to announce that the collection stations are opening. So he also has his 2 weeks. But his two, the Chachamim had a month, is from the Rosh Chodesh Adar to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said, listen, you know, you can't wait till the last day to collect. You have to have the money for the Beis Hamikdash. So we have to give it, so in his sake, you give 2 weeks to do it. Okay. So now you have to do publicity for 2 weeks to tell people, to remind people that you have to take care of this. So that was how Gemara went off tangentially for a moment. Well, I feel the Tamar of Shimon Gamliel, okay, Vaughn. So, fine. Now, my Parsha Shkolos. Now we get to this very strange question. What is Parsha Shkolos? Rav, and you know that in Jewish life there have to be at least two answers to every question. At least. It would be un-Jewish otherwise. Rav Omer Tzavos B'nei Yisrael V'amar T'Olayim as Korban Ilachmi. Because that has in the Parsha, as I say, Rosh Chodesh B'chotcha. So we read the Rosh Chodesh leaning on Parsha Shkolim. U'shmul Omer Kisisa. As I put it, how could they have a machlekes? And further, what would be the sense of Shmuel if he himself must admit that the whole idea of the Truma Chadosh comes from the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, and the sole way that I know it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Gzera Shavah from that Parsha? So if it's all rooted in that Parsha, what am I reading Kisisa for? And then the Gemara says, Bishlam on the Yom Kisisa had a decoril or Parsha Shkolim. According to Shmuel, I know why the Mishnah calls it Parsha Shkolim. The Chesiv Beis Shkolim talks about Shkolim in the Parsha. And the man the Yom is Korban Ilachmi, Midei Shkolim, Chesiv Beis Shkolim. What do you call it Shkolim? So the Gemara says, in. There is Shkolim, but it's not on the lines. It's in between the lines. My time, my kederab tevi, because it says it's oilas chodesh b'chotchei. So there we have. So bishlam adaman neil b'tavas b'leisol mukshum mukshum d'chsi b'karbonos. Hosam kederab tevi. So in the parsha, it's talking about you have to bring new karbonos. So So that's fine. And the Maniomar Kisisa, Karbonos Miksime. If you're reading, if the whole point is to bring Shkolim for the Karbonos, so Kisisa doesn't talk about the Karbonos, Kisisa talks about the construction of the Mishkan. Shkolim Ladonim Kisive. Shkolim for the foundations for the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, for the Mishkan. So Moses gets a ton of Rav Yosef. Sholosh Truma, saying there were, it says three, Truma three times to imply that there were three types of Truma. Shal Mizbeach, the Mizbeach, Shal Adonim, La Adonim, Shal Bedekabayas, the Bedekabayas. But one of the things that were involved with in Parsha Shkolim was bringing donations for the Karbonos. So this is a very, very odd piece of Gemara. Like, what is the rhyme or reason of the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? What are they arguing about? Shmuel, anyhow, at the end of the day, would seem that he should have to come on to Rav's view. How did they have a question, my Shkolim? What type of question is that? So, very, very peculiar. Very peculiar. Now, it is in the Rishalmi, in this sugya, cites another little piece of Gemara, which we have earlier in the Bavli. Now, from this standpoint, let's talk in terms of brisk right now. Shkolim is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Korbanos. That's what Shkolim is. So in effect, it's oriented to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's nothing to do with Purim. Not a Purim Dikadin. Zohar is a Purim Dikadin. Parah is a Pesach Dikadin. And the Parshas HaChodesh is a Pesach Dikadin. And Shkolim has to do with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Zohar seems to be the only one that seems to be oriented to Purim. So the Gemara says a remarkable thing. The Gemara says it's earlier in the Al Masech that we have it, and it's in the Bavli. But the Rishalmi brings it in the Sugya here, that one of the aspects of Parsha Shkolim is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam saw that Haman was going to bring the Aseres Halachim Kikar Kesef. So there's a whole Tosfos and a Gantza Maisa with Abach and a whole. So the Rishonim have a Mesorah that somehow the Aseres Halachim Kikar Kesef works out to be a machtzis shekel for each of the 600,000 Jews. So there's endless, you know, computations to try to figure out how it is, but that's their Maseiros that they have. So in effect, what happened was that it's very interesting. The Shkolim is not now a Nisan Dikadin. In brisket terms, it's a Purim Dikadin. What's the pshat? The pshat is that Loma, why would a mischayev kliya ba'isa ador? For what reason? Because they used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They were mevaz of the Mikdash. They went to the Suda and the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash were used. So they were mevaz of the Mikdash. And that gave Haman the koyach to be mekatrig on them. So what schus saved them? The schus that we were makdish to Mishkan, and we were dedicated to the Asiyas HaMishkan. That's what was matzalos. Now it could also be that there's another theme to this, within this, a sub theme to it, and that is that this era of the Nes Purim is really the final era in preparation for the building of the second Mikdash. So it could also be that Klal Yisrael reinvigorated itself in terms of finishing the building of the second base of Mikdash. It began before this era, and it was stopped, and then it was to begin again after an 18-year stop. It started again. So that could also be part of it. It wasn't only that they had the schus, that their forebears dedicated to the Mikdash, but But they themselves, there was started to be a Sairus that we have to finish building the Beis HaMikdash. This was the schus that was matzal them, because that was the chet. The chet was the Womavaz of the Mikdash. So the Yeshua was the dedication of their obus and perhaps of themselves too to the Kedushas HaMikdash. This was what was matzal them. So it comes out from this time that it's a Purim Dikedin. It's a Purim Dikedin. Now, if it's a Purim Dikedin, then you don't really have the question of why is it at this time of the year. Right? We don't have in and of itself the question why is it this time of the year, because Shkolim has to do with Purim. Elamai, Zohar also has to do with Purim. But Zohar is more intimately associated, as the Gemara says, Nizkorim v'nasim. So the Zecher, the Indian of Echias HaMolek, the Pasha Zohar, should be in proximity to Purim. So that's the Shabbos right before Purim. And then they front loaded Shkolim a little bit. Now, from that standpoint, we can raise the following question. So we have two reasons now for Shkolim. One's Be'echad Nashmim al Shkolim has to do with the Migdash, and one has to do with Purim. So now, we have a very simple question. So which is the Iker? Which is the Iker? Is the Iker the Echad Ba'adam Hashmin al Ashkolim? Is the Iker the Purim Dikedin? So, the answer is, I mean, our Shas is clear that the Etzem Din of Shkolim is a din in the Migdash, not a din in Purim. It has to do with Be'echad Ba'adam Mashmiyam Al Ashkolim. Less man the Polik. No one disputes that. But, so what's the Shaila, my Shkolim? Shaila is the following. I would dare say that in the time when the Migdash stood and they brought Karbonas, the Parsha Shkolim was what Rav said. That was the Iker. So, the Mashmiyam al Ashkolim, and that comes from the parasha of Zayis Oilas Chodesh Bechotchay, and that's how you know there's a chiyuv of a new truma, and you know that it's Nisan. So that was clearly that was the essential, the most essential part, was the Migdash, and the Hischayvus, not just the commemoration of the past, but the obligations for the future. It was an obligation. That's it. We have the yearly appeal to be part of the Korbanos Tzibur. But the Shaila Mai Shkolim that the Gemara raised is in the time of Rav and Shmuel, after the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. So now Klal Yisrael was in a quandary. And I would dare say, in this quandary, there were different places took different approaches. Some said, Zeichel HaMikdash. Zeichel HaMikdash is a major theme. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enacted things Zeichel HaMikdash. To remember, even as we go into the Golos, there should be Zeichel HaMikdash. So one school of thought said Zeichel HaMikdash. The way it was, that's the way it remained. So they kept on going straight ahead with the power of what we read on Rosh Chodesh. There was another school of thought that said, listen, yeah, it's nice to think about the Beis HaMikdash, but now the what's more relevant is the association to Purim. Because Purim's on the map. Now we're celebrating Purim. We hope, we pray, we believe that there'll be a Gula Asida and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will allow us to bring Korbanos again. But that's not here and now. That's in the future. I hope the near future, but still in the future. What's here and concrete in front of us today is in 2 weeks from Rosh Chodesh Adar, we're celebrating Purim. So they said, if that's the case, so the principal aspect of Parsha Shkolim should be how, in fact, the Shkolim thwarted Haman. The fact that it's associated with the Truma Chadosh, so good, there's a remes. It says three times Truma, and one of them is the Truma Samizbeach. So there's a remez in the parsha for it. That's enough. Because there were differing practices in the era after the Churban. Some communities did this way, some communities did that way. Those that said, for example, Tikkun Rav Avuah in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that Rav Avuah instituted the Kriyas, the Tkiyah Shofar in the fashion that we have. In other words, we do three times Tashrat, three times Tashat, three times Tarat. So this was because Rav Avuah. So some of the Rishonim learned that there's no machlokes, that whichever of the three you hear, you yaitse. If you hear Tashrat three times, you yaitse, Tashat three times, you yaitse, Tarat three times, you yaitse. But Rav Avuah said this is no way to run a religion. You can't have a religion then that everyone's doing his own thing. You know, every time you go into another shul, the guys are saying, we're the real deal. And they go down the block, you know, you want to hear the phony tekiyas, go down the block. You know, we have the real tekiyas here. We have the real Messiah. You know, this is not a way to run a religion. So Tikkun Rav Avuah, Rav Avuah made a takana that there should be uniformity. Wherever you go to shul, you're Sephardi, you're Ashkenazi, you're Taimoni, you're a Chosid, you're a Misnagid, whatever you are, you go to shul, you hear the same tekiyas. Even Yekas have the same tekiyas, you know.
Other than the brisker tekiyas.
Yeah, we're yaitzu with theirs. It's a shot that they're yaitzu with us, but we're certainly yaitzu with. No, it's not. We really paskin that whatever comes out of the shofar, it's called shofar. It's not, you know, tones and tunes don't make a difference. I'll call upon him. So we've had such things before in history, that we've had different practices emerge, and then some significant figure in Jewish history comes and says, Dayenu, you know, we've got to put a stop to this. We have to look like a religion. So, and they make a takara, and he had enough stature that what he did stuck. We're not so sure, even take Tikkun Rav Avuah, how quickly did it take hold? Probably took a while. There were probably, you know, got people that embraced it right away, and there were holdout kehilas, you know. It probably took a good number of years until this became, you know, the norm. So, that's what I believe was the issue. That's what I must say, my shkolim. What shkolim? What we did, yeah, we knew what we did in the past. But it doesn't necessarily inform what we should do in the future. And by the time they asked my shkolim, the Wakihilis already, they abandoned the past and they said, listen, that's not it. You know, we need to go in a new direction, which emphasizes Purim with Parsha Shkolim. So the more now, content of the Bikoveya, my shkolim. You know, okay. So we have two super gainim that came to Bovel, of Rav and Shmuel. So this was, you know, and they set about being koveya. So the halacha, in fact, we paskin like Shmuel, which is usual. Rav we paskin like by Isurim. So no, I wouldn't call this Isurim exactly, but no, it's not moment. I don't know. It doesn't follow the pattern of either, I should say, really, in reality. We don't have a clear-cut pattern why it is this way, but the posterity paskin like Shmuel. So this, I think, was the issue. The issue is the Zecher the Migdash the Ikar? And therefore, we should read Tzavos B'nai Yisrael as they did at the time of the Migdash? Or is the Ikar now Purim?
So when God goes to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, would the time saying was sculling change? Or?
I would think that we're going to go back to the other way, to the Tzavos B'nai Yisrael. That's what I think. I think that everyone agreed. The Daiti, everyone agreed when the Migdash stood that Tzavos B'nai Yisrael was sculling. So, no, it's it's interesting that, you know, the theme of the Mikdash is one of the sub-themes of Megillas Esther. Ahasuerus' party was for what reason? Because by his calculation, the 70 years ended. So that's it. Whatever. I guess the Jews were sinful enough that the good Lord wasn't going to redeem them. It was over. Right? And that's why he took out the Kedem of the Beis HaMikdash. He was no longer afraid. The last one, Belshazzar, when he did that, it didn't play out too well for him. But he decided, now, listen, then it was still possible that he got redeemed. Now it's over. So this was to demonstrate, really, the whole Sudas Achashverosh was to demonstrate that the connection between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and the Mikdash is broken. It was a Maisa, a very interesting Maisa, which also touches upon this. It's a grandson of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I knew him. So he had a show on the radio, on the Jewish radio, and he got himself in trouble. Why? Because he talked about Yom HaTzmut on his program, not from the big Averis, but he only had one problem. He had Satmar advertisers. You know, so this was a faux pas, a first proportion. You know, this is the old joke. They say, why the Megillah takes 2 hours to read in Satmar? So every time they say Medina, they clap. I'll call upon him. So he was in a real bind. So he asked his aider of Yaakov, "What should we do?" You know, he asked. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, "Listen. One thing we can all agree about, whatever stance we take, but one thing we can all agree about, that Yom HaTzmaut was a significant day. Why? See, it was a day in history that the nations of the world concurred that there's a connection between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Whatever else, you know, happened, but the fact that the Ummas HaOlam collectively agreed that Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are connected. This was a significant happening. Whatever else took place, whatever your stance on anything else that came forth, but this is significant. So this was Haman, Achashverosh, as Chazal tell us, Achashverosh was no less wicked than Haman was. Was no less wicked. Right? When Haman wanted to say, he asked the muse, "Ve'ezeh who?" So she started to point to Ahasuerus. Why? It was a gut reaction. She knew the truth, and it was a visceral reaction. Except the Malach came and pushed a hand that it should point to Haman instead of to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, in a way, was a more cunning enemy of Klal Yisrael than Haman was. Haman was a thug. And that's it. He had a band of brown shirts, slowly, you know, and that's it. He decided that's the way he's going to conquer the world. Ahasuerus knew that this is not the way to defeat Klal Yisrael. The too many had tried before him and hadn't succeeded. So what was he out to do? So he made the party. What was the purpose of the party? The purpose of the party was to ensnare Klal Yisrael in sin, in more ways than one. One is they should come and join together in a party celebrating, in effect, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the abandonment of Eretz Yisrael. And in that regard, they're going to use the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. But that wasn't all. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Balak was frustrated. He hires Bilam. Now Bilam, he's the ultimate hitman. You know, the mafia don's dream. You know, he doesn't just attack an Olam Hazeh. You know, he knows how to invoke, bring the heavens down upon you too. So he brings Bilam. And what was Bilam's kunz? Bilam's kunz was that he knew, it says, that every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Charon Af, or at least for a moment. So he knew how to identify that moment. And at that moment, he would arouse the ire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against his enemies. So Kol Oysam Hayomim, it says, there was no Midas Hadin. There was no Charon Af from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all the days that Bilam was running around together with Balak. So what does Bilam do next? So he couldn't give a klola, but he knew how to invoke a klola on Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he told Balak, Eloheyem shal elu sanezimu. If there's one thing that the Rabbeinu Shalom despises more than anything else, it's nus. So what did he do? So we started the whole parsha in Shittim. To be machti them business. And what happened? Thousands, 24,000 people got killed in the Magefa that came from it. So Bilam was a very wily enemy of Klal Yisrael. He did not seek to do them in just merely by the forces of Olam Hazeh, but he wished to arouse the forces of the Olam Elyon, of Olam Haba, against them. And when he couldn't, because the Rabbeinu Shalom's Abba for Klal Yisrael was too great, so what did he do? He says, the ultimate weapon against Klal Yisrael is to ensnare them in Chet. And if you can ensnare them in Znus, that's the best of all. That will certainly bring forth, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is not going to hold back the Midas Adin. All the days that he was there was no Midas Adin. When Klal Yisrael engaged in Znus, that's it. The Midas Adin burst forth. So Achashverosh had the same plan. That was the whole thing, that there was a Beis HaNoshim. The whole point was, it was that they should drink and party and get themselves involved at the party and immorality. That was the ultimate purpose of the party. So in case the Bizoyer HaMikdash wasn't enough to arouse the Rabbeinu Shalom's anger, so what would he do? And snare them in Znus. That's what he wanted to do. So he, in a way, he was a wilier enemy than Haman. Because he attempted to use the methodology of Bilam, of evolving us in Chet, in the worst type of Chet. And by that means invoking the Charon Af of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against us. So Purim is in fact the celebration that because of our rededication to the Mikdash, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was mechaper for that which we did, which was act in a way which was disrespectful to the Mikdash. Meila, Kodesh Baruch Hu was matzalus. But therein was Achashverosh's attempt, his twofold attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael. He basically told Haman, listen, you're a thug. Verstehst nicht kein Indian. You don't know. Listen, these people have been around a long time. They've had an awful lot of mighty enemies, a lot mightier than you. And they didn't succeed. He said, but there's a way to succeed. And one aspect of that was the Bizoyer HaMikdash. When we celebrate Parsha Shkolim, we're celebrating the schus that we had from our forebears of their dedication to the Mikdash, their schus. And as I said, I think also the Hisairus, the aroused feeling in Klal Yisrael that we have to build the Beis HaMikdash, which was to play out in the very next era after the time of the Nes Purim. Who was the next melech? Was Daryovish. And Daryovish is the one that allowed the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So, this aspect, the aspect of Shkolim as it's tied to the Mikdash, as it's tied to Purim, was a significant aspect of the whole, of the Hatzolah in Purim. So that's what we celebrate in Parsha Shkolim. That's why we read Kisisa. Because in the dedication to the Rabbeinu Shalom's Mikdash, was the key to undoing that which Achashverosh attempted, which Achashverosh tried to do, and ultimately it didn't come into. So that's why we celebrate Parsha Shkolim Ki Siso, the Trumas Adonim. We're celebrating the Trumas Adonim, the dedication to the Binyan HaMikdash. May the Rabbanu Shalom grant that we should have that schus, and may the Rabbanu Shalom grant we should also have the schus that we should be zeicher to give the Truma Chadasha and be a chelik of the Kabbalah Tzirim of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Still not too late for this year. Okay, good night, Rabbi Yisrael.